shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I'm a measured Christina Jeffa.
And I am a very professional Katie Nordgren. And with us this week is a local comedian and all-around sweetheart, Victor of the One-Hitter Quitter last Woo! Night, Mr. San Aung.
Hello, folks. How's it going? Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'll put this a little bit snugglier to you so you don't have to lean quite so far.
Even better. Thank you.
He's still leaning.
Yeah. He knows how to work the mic. He's a goddamn professional.
I am. No, I'm in love with my own voice and I know how to use it.
Yeah, right. We don't provide headphones here at this podcast.
So no, that's fine. My bare ears is fine enough.
Yeah. It's reverbing through you at all times, giving you what you need.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm not very musical, but I know my voice very well.
And it's good.
Yeah, it's all right.
It'll do.
It's okay.
It's good.
Did you have that thing where you heard it differently in your own head, and then once you started actually doing stand-up and had it through a microphone, it was just like, what is this? Or was it like, that checks out?
You know what? It's like, when I'm doing stand-up, I just hear my voice in my own head, and I'm just like, oh, okay, this is going good. But every time I listen to myself, like on tape or recorded back, I'm just like, do I sound
Who's
like
this
that?
Asshole?
Yeah, good thing this isn't recorded.
Who's this cartoon character of a man?
He's got a great head of hair, I'll say that much.
Thank you. It's
I want my hair to look like that, but it's not. I'm not Asian, unfortunately, so I don't think it's going to happen.
It's just grow it out and don't wash it.
And be Asian.
Be Asian. That's really the most important part.
Yeah. So one out of three is not good.
I mean,
I don't have any of those things.
Oh my god.
Thank you. I really doubt that. Like, you have to realize my hair is the most important part of my body.
I love the way you just said my body. My body.
My body. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Chris, how was your week?
Not great, dudes. It was great, and then it wasn't great. I have a story.
Yes, you've been champing.
Yeah, go on.
I don't know. It's probably not fun. I told this to a friend, and they were just like, this is awful, but, the best part of my week was that my very good friend Calvin, the harp player, came in from town.
Okay.
From town that he grew up in. What am I doing? Kansas City.
Baby. You're looking at me like I'm dumb, and you're like, I'm no good either.
I know. Apparently, everything is just failing me. But he's a beautiful harpist, and he came in and we played some shows together on Tuesday night.
He looks like a beautiful angel.
Mm-hmm.
He's a million feet tall.
Mm-hmm. And we played a show. And then partied very heartily afterwards.
Oh, wow.
So then the following day, like after staying up all night, weaving Christmas lights into people's beards and eating bourbon on dessert, basically.
As one does.
Pour bourbon onto like decadent. Peaches and cream dessert.
Damn.
It was a pretty nice night. It felt very magical. I haven't had a night like that in a long time because I haven't played in a band for a long time. But then we decided to cool our heads the next day because we had hangovers and we went to Lynn Canyon, and I got sucked into a fucking waterfall and nearly died.
Oh, what?
And it was so scary.
Can I ask, do you know how big or how tall that waterfall was?
It was not tall at all, so that's why I thought it was safe to swim near it. But apparently the current, it was in the main pool that you would go swim in Lynn Canyon where all the teens do their cliff diving stuff.
Yeah.
But then you swim back into the canyon, and then you can swim back a little bit more, and there's a waterfall. But there's, like, a safe part, and then there's, like, a foamy part.
Oh.
And I was swimming close enough to the foamy part that it sucked my feet under the water. And then I just got pulled under. And then I got shot back up, and I was like, God damn it! And then it pulled me under again, and then it happened, like, five or six times.
Wow.
It was the scariest shit. And, yeah, Jesus. My partner had to pull me out of that, and then I cried and threw up for a while.
Oh, you barfed, hey?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, it was really scary. And then I just, have been having, like, crazy flashbacks about that all
Jesus,
week.
Jesus, dude.
This is why I avoid foam in all shapes and sizes.
All foams?
All foams.
I don't want to go to a foam party ever again.
No, like, no.
Did you go to a bunch?
I mean, I used to go to, like, the Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, fair enough. Our wild, halcyon days.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, not even a foam party where I know there's, like, a floor beneath me, but it was scary.
Like, I don't know.
Was, like, no
purchase.
Just, like, wow.
Yeah.
You could find no purchase.
So that was really scary,
yes.
And I'd never want to do that again, so I'm going to just stick to the ocean.
Okay.
I can at least...
That was what I joked with you. It's like, if you're going to die in the water, you can't die in a pool. You gotta die in the ocean.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, if you're gonna die in the water, dying in a waterfall, that's pretty badass.
Pretty romantic, but like stupid as shit. Because it's the place
that,
like...
How big was the waterfall? It was not that big.
It was not that big, and it's, like, the safe pool. But, like, everyone knows that if you go to Lynn Canyon, it's really dangerous. So, be careful.
Oh.
And so I just wasn't paying attention.
I'm never gonna die!
Yeah, I was just like, we're just having fun. And my friends, like, you know, from Kansas, they just stayed over. They're like, oh, I don't feel comfortable swimming through, like, a narrow rock chasm. I'm like, whatever.
Babies.
Yeah. And then I, like, came out of the rock chasm. I'm like, so I nearly died. I should probably not go back there.
So you were right. I was wrong.
The river is actually extremely high, despite the drought that we've had.
Yeah.
Like, the water is really powerful right now, so don't do it.
Yeah.
So...
So we're very glad you didn't die.
Wait, was there anyone there when, like, when this was all happening?
No.
Or, like, just, you were by yourself?
No, with my partner.
Okay, okay.
He, like, he hauled me out of there.
Oh, jeez.
But he just, like, was over here and just was like, wait, what's going on? Oh, she just keeps bobbing up and going back. Oh, I think something's wrong. And then he, like, swam over, and I'm so fucking glad that he also didn't get sucked into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a bad nightmare about that, where it's like, if he tried to pull me out and got also sucked into the waterfall, would have been, like...
The worst.
Oh, I can't even think about it.
Don't think about it.
No, I know.
You just had to talk about it on the podcast. I want to title this one, The One Where Chris Didn't Die.
I think that overshadow sounds like presidency.
Well, it's fine. He's fine.
It's all right.
He beat me in a competition last night, so we don't like him anyway.
No, we do like him. He's obviously better than you. So
oh, boy.
Now he's my new best friend.
Oh, great.
That was the competition, by the way.
It turns out the funniest fuck trophy and the friendship of a lifetime. So now you're me. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, folks.
You're Katie now.
I'm Katie Nordgren. How's it going? I have great blue hair.
I have hair and I want people to pay attention to me.
Yeah.
This is pretty much the same as you are already.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've got beautiful hair. People better pay attention to me.
We're practically twins, really. Fraternal
twins.
That's
why people just always get us confused all the time.
How was the show last night?
A bit of a shit show, but it was fun.
It was, you know what? It was like, at the start of it, things were kind of a bit ramshackle. They were, like, hastily put together.
It was like a hot summertime sweaty kind of show. Like, I don't know. Shows in the summertime just always feel loose.
I think everybody's like been out in the sun all day, and we're kind of, like, just dopey and dumb. Yeah. So,
but, it filled up quickly, and it was actually a really good show. Like, the audience were very receptive.
Mm-hmm. They really liked your set, which is probably why you won.
Yeah, maybe. Could be.
Might be that.
Other shady reasons.
When did you go up?
I went up fourth.
Yeah, that's unusual that you would have won, because it was 12 people, and it's, like, really, I went up 10th, so perfect, right?
Oh,
like, just enough to be like, hey, remember how good I was, everyone?
Actually, I've done a whole lot of competitions.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed, like, people who go up near the, like, not first, but near the first half, like, third to fifth, a lot of them usually win if they're good. And, like, that last spot, that 12th spot, just because it's last and, like, people remember doesn't necessarily mean you're going
to
you have to
be really funny. It's no good if you're not funny. Mm. It's not going to do anything.
But, like, once you're in the set where it's like, oh, they've seen a few people and now they're warmed up and they're really loving it. So they're like, oh, that's the person that I first clicked with.
Oh yeah,
then that's a good way to look at it.
And then the rest just carry on and they're trying to hold a candle up to you, maybe.
That's true.
Whoever could.
Well, you and Jackie Hofar. We were the three funniest people of the show that night.
No white men won.
Yeah,
which was great, because it was mostly white men.
Yeah.
So we won.
Look at that, minorities.
Great victory. Hey!
Yeah.
Minority. I'm a wealthy white woman. Everyone listens to me. Except men.
Yeah. Not
apart from
this
that.
Man.
Yeah, this sensitive individual.
Ooh, I'm all right. I'm all right. I have a soft heart.
You should probably go to a doctor. Get that checked out.
I'm afraid of doctors and waterfalls.
Dr. Waterfall will see you now.
Oh, God.
He's going to put his finger up your butt.
No.
No, my butt.
No, my butt.
How we know?
His office is so foamy for some reason, too.
A lot of callbacks in this one. A lot of callbacks. Oh, man. So you almost died. But you didn't die.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, it was great.
Wicked that you didn't
die. The best
die.
Possible outcome.
You had a great week.
Yeah, I did actually. You know what? That's a really good way to put it. I'm like, no, I didn't have a good week at all. It's like, no, I actually had the best week ever.
You
I extremely didn't die.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm more alive than I've ever been.
Well, that's not true.
It's like,
I had moments where I was more alive than that.
Yeah.
This week was pretty good. I got a new lease on life.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I don't know, but, like, the weather's been crappy, so, yeah. like, I don't really
it's
like
been
it.
So weird. I was talking about this with Sam downstairs just before we got started, and it's just like, yeah, Tessa was saying that she looked out at the sky, she's like, the sky is baleful. I'm like, that's what you say during an actual apocalypse, yeah. right? Like, when you see the horsemen riding over the clouds at you. But it has looked really apocalyptic this week. There's a ton of smoke from the BC forest fires. If for some reason
there's
you are listening to this,
there's 150 forest fires happening.
That's a lot.
Not more.
That's a lot of fires.
It's very scary. My heart goes out to anyone in northern BC. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys are doing all right.
Yeah. I have one of my childhood friends, Krista Frohlin. She owns she's the manager of the 70 Mile General store. And her husband, Miguel, have stayed there to offer gas to people evacuating and making sure that there's still a point where people can come and get supplies.
They're near a wildfire thing at a gas station? That's so brave.
They'll have plenty of notice to get out if they need to. Like, they'll be evacuated. They're with, like, the armies. The army's been there. There's the police and stuff, so there's lots of professionals on hand. But I just, like, yeah, she's like, for everybody who's evacuating, they need to get gas so that they can go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the south side of Green Lake, which is where our cabin was growing up, they're all evacuated. Mm. Yeah, so... It's nuts. Like, it's really crazy. But she's very brave, so I'm really, like, proud of her for staying there. Like, she's a year older than me. And she's, like, a mother of two kids, and she runs this general store. And, like, she's a really impressive person. So, good job, Krista. We love you, girl.
We love you.
This one goes out to Krista K. but, yeah, so the smoke and the ash have come down and covered the sun. Covered the very sun.
And all the mountains. And I, like, Steve Venegas made a good joke about, like, you know, we pay a lot of rent in Vancouver for the view, so we should all be getting rent rebates.
Absolutely. Oh, no, it's creepy. I don't care for it.
This is a very boring segue, but have you seen the moon lately?
The moon's, like, fucking sexy lately.
Yeah, it's like blood red moon. It's just
she's
a look
killing
up.
It. Yeah.
It's like, oh my god.
That's one sexy moon.
It's gonna be full on Monday.
You saucy lass.
I like people who talk about the moon as a she.
She's a sexy lady.
Yeah.
Sexy ladies.
She's very sexy. All different shapes and sizes.
But yeah, Monday is the full moon, and then there's going to be a solar eclipse as well.
On the 21st.
Oh, so not coming up that quick, but...
Nope. No, it's still relatively soon.
Yeah,
fine.
Well, I mean, it's a total solar eclipse, which hasn't happened since 1913 or 1917
whatever,
or something
nerd.
Like that.
What the
you love space. Are you kidding me? Or do you only like space when it's about astrology?
I only like night space. I don't like day space.
Day
I don't care.
Is lame.
I don't care
day
for solar eclipses.
You know, it's always there.
Shut up. It's not true.
It's not true. Say it's not true.
Day space is like the boring half sister of night space.
Yeah.
Like, really, I mean, look at all the stars.
Right.
It's so sexy.
Yeah, night space, you can see so much more cool stuff.
Everyone
happening.
Likes night space more.
I don't want to see a solar eclipse, guys.
Because you can't even look at it proper.
I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking burn my eyes out.
No, you already got laser surgery.
Once in a lifetime. They promised me free touch-ups if I needed them.
Really?
No.
I thought that would be kind of cool. It's like when you get your bangs cut, and you can go get your bangs cut again for free, but with laser eye surgery,
no? I think if I regress, they will fix it for me.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
Lifetime warranty?
Well, I paid a lot of money for
it,
so. And obviously I still wear glasses, so it wasn't that good.
Oh, wow, okay.
I did it when I was 25, so don't do that, anybody. Wait till you're 30 before you get laser eye surgery, because then your eyes will be more consistent.
Yeah.
But then they're like, oh, if you get pregnant, then you'll need to get it again. Or
wait, what?
Like, apparently your eyes change like crazy if you're pregnant. Oh, a lot of people end up needing glasses after they've had a pregnancy.
Oh, babies. They ruin your whole body, even your eyes.
Yeah, all the way, top to bottom. Your feet grow, your eyes get weird, hair falls out after.
Your feet grow?
Yeah, Noelle said that, it's like, you know how your feet swell up when you're pregnant? You've heard this myth, like, oh, my swollen ankles.
Yeah, sure.
But apparently they just stay big.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. So my friend is like, why didn't they tell me this? And now I have all these shoes that I can't wear.
Yeah.
That I was really looking forward to getting back. And I'm like, I'll take this.
I already wear size 11, so I can't go a size bigger. They already don't cover me at Aldo.
Oh, Aldo.
Yeah. They like we go up to a 10. I was like, well, then you, sir, madame, ooh, whatever your name is.
Apparently your feet just get bigger and wider because they spread out more to, like, carry the weight of, like...
Something I like to call pregnant puberty.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
When your feet grow big when you have a baby? Yeah.
You just heard about that now and you made up that term? You're so, prescient.
Thank you.
He's a tastemaker.
I am a tastemaker. I like to make up words. New slangs. Modern day Shakespeare.
Slangs?
Yeah.
I use the slang. Are you an alien from space? No. Not day space. Certainly the
not
worst
day
kind
space.
Of space. I only come from night space.
Ooh, like, I don't want it's, like, super hot outside. It's just, like, everyone's just, like, oh, day space. It's so overbearing.
It's so hard. It's, like, loud, but in lightness. It's bright, I guess, is so the word lame. I'm calling for. Yeah, that's a word that already existed. It turns out I didn't need you to make one up for me.
I don't know. I liked your the way that you found it.
It's like it's loud, but it's like the light is a lot.
The light is a lot, man.
It's very intense. You mean bright? Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds definitely like what I mean.
Katie, it's the journey, not the destination that counts.
Fuck the destination. How was your week, Sam?
Yeah. My week is, it's been great. I gotta go, I should check my journal. I don't really...
Don't make jokes about a journal if you don't really have one. We take journals very seriously.
I know,
here.
I left mine downstairs, but right, I only had okay. one note in my journal. Was my story that I already told.
On Sunday, I actually downloaded a journaling app for my phone, and I put in my first ever journal entry.
Okay.
And it was, I'm a very open person, I'll talk about it. It's just like, what I wrote was a recap of a night where I got not sober. And I got real happy and extroverted. And then it was great, and I was talking to a lot of people, but then I kind of cock-blocked some people, and then I got really anxious and, like, nervous because I didn't want to damage any pre-existing relationship for a booty call.
So that was your journal entry?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, I avoided narrowly being a dirtbag.
Or
you were a little bit.
I was a little bit, but, like, I tried not to be, but in the end, I failed at being either.
Oh, so just failed at two things.
I was not bad and not good. I was just
medium.
Medium, mediocre.
Brought some realness to the sitch.
Yeah, pretty much. Thursday, last night, I won a great competition. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
Ooh, I was there.
I heard that you're the funniest fuck.
Oh, yeah, I am the funniest fuck of August, for now.
Yep, of August. It was, Yeah, the three of us, you, me, and Jackie Hoffert.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Today at work, I worked downtown and, like, worked by Canada Place, and there was an anime convention going on.
Oh, I saw pictures from that.
It was really nice.
So funny.
It was, like, really colorful. It's like, a lot of people were taking pictures, and it's always a great feeling when, like, you see a bunch of cosplayers and you recognize the characters that they're cosplaying.
You're like, oh, I'm a dork too, it turns out.
Especially if it's very obscure and you're the only one that gets it.
Like, this is a very unusual anime.
Yeah.
It's not even available with subs. I have to make up my own.
It's like, oh my god, it's Atreus Kushinadra.
Oh my god.
Cosplay. It's a Gundam Wing reference. Gundam Wing.
Ooh. You're a Gundam Wing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Get in a mech suit.
Do you like it when it's like you see people that are just like so into the thing and they're just like so genuine about it? Is that something that you love, or is it more the obscurity?
It's just like
I also like thing.
I like them both. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the effort that goes into like some of these like big, complicated costumes. There was a guy in an armor. There was this. I was walking around watching like all the cosplayers. And there was this one kid who was in, like, this really cool armor, but he was also, like, I could tell, very socially awkward and lonely.
Really? Someone at an anime convention?
This is my literal armor to protect me from human interaction, maybe, just a little bit. That's very cute.
But, like, he was in this super cool red armor, but he didn't have any friends there. And, like, he was just sitting off in the corner where everyone else was just meeting each other and taking pictures. And I'm just like, oh, buddy, how you doing? You remind me of me when I was you.
Aw, yeah, anime cons.
Yeah.
They're cute. They're so sweet. They have them up at SFU once a year. The SakuraCon.
Oh, SakuraCon. Yeah, I went there once when I was up. We both went to SFU, actually.
Yes, we did. I graduated in 2014.
I don't remember. 2015.
Okay. What program were you in? I didn't even know you went to SFU.
I started off in psychology, and then I switched to communications when I started hating school.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I'm sure that didn't help too much.
No, yeah. I don't know. It's like I started doing stand-up really early, like in school, like a year in. And then I just got really into it, and then I focused on that to the detriment of my academic career. Mm-hmm. So I graduated pretty late, 7 years after I entered school.
11. Yeah. Yeah.
11.
Don't feel too bad.
Eight. Oh, yeah. High fives all around.
Woo-hoo, we did
yes.
it.
Yes. Surely. All right.
Yeah, well, because I went to Kwantlen right after high school, and I went for like a year and a half, and then I took a bajillion years off, and I didn't do anything productive at all, and then I went back.
Yeah, okay.
So that was pretty much what happened, but I like to call it 11 years because I just like to be like, I'm an academic advisor, and it took me 11 years to finish my degree, so don't listen to a word I say.
Yeah.
Oh, or man. Do. I don't know.
Life experience.
Drive a car
also...
fast or not.
It's like, it's really fun, like, when you meet someone who has a job, but their backstory is also a cautionary tale about that job.
Yeah, this is exactly what I have. It makes me very, as the kids say, hashtag relatable.
Hashtag delicious irony.
Hashtag yes. Hey, Katie, how was your week? Oh, pretty good, guys.
Yeah, pretty good. How was your week, Katie?
I was going to follow up with some very poignant questions about your childhood, Sam, because you were talking about, like, you know, me being a loner kid, and da-da-da-da. I thought that was a rich vein
to mine.
Well,
we're going to get into
it. You just decided to derail it and make it all about you.
Yeah, can we make it all about me for a second?
Should I leave this room for a bit?
No. We like to berate each other.
Okay,
so it's like part of our brand. I think. I don't know. We just mean to each other.
It's more fun. She's really easy to make fun of.
Yeah, and I'm very sensitive, so I start to cry quite easily.
Ah, yes, I remember.
And she is a sadist, so.
I'm not. Okay. How was your week, Katie?
You fucker. It was fine. That's all.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. No, it was good. We did the Comedy Big Rock show on Sunday, and it was going to be it's the last one that we're going to have.
Oh, big news.
Ever? No, not from me, but the last one we're going to have with Kyle and Justin.
Is it just going to be you?
It's going to be me and Gavin Clarkson.
Ooh.
Our past guest Gavin Clarkson and I are going to run Comedy Big Rock.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so Justin's left effective immediately to focus on his porn career.
His academic, he's academic versus stand-up. He's got the academic
old
lead,
school
I guess.
Smart.
Yeah, he's doing his Victorian porn PhD. He's defending his thesis this month, so he's real busy. Yeah.
What a fucking porn hipster. It's
yeah, he's a total,
old school
yeah.
shit.
Ride a penny farthing right into the canal. Just kidding, I love Justin a lot.
I mean,
I am a little mad at him because he didn't, like, tell us about it beforehand. Yeah. It was just, like, a big surprise. I was like, damn it! But, yeah, Kyle's going to stay on for September, so and I think that Gavin and I could probably handle it as a duo from mm-hmm. then on out, so hopefully, because... We had a great show on Sunday. It was really good. Mr. Kevin Banner was our headliner. And he killed. Like, he just did it. He had a really great show. We had a big table full of bros that just found out about the show and showed up. Nobody knew them.
Yep.
They were just, like, nice bros. Yeah. They were just a nice, like, group of six or seven bros who showed up and were very game with the crowd work that was going on. Mm-hmm. They were totally fine with being teased. And they seemed to just, like, and then apparently they were whizzing in the bathroom and Kyle heard them say, "This is, like, the best fucking comedy show I've ever seen."
Oh,
wow. So that was like a really nice thing to hear. Nice. I was like, cool. We had a really good lineup. Like, it was just everybody just had a great set that
nice.
Night. It was a weird alchemy. You were there. I have you on my recording laughing so fucking hard. So thank you.
Yeah.
For your undying support.
I'm generous. What can I say?
Oh, thanks.
There it is. You
there
good,
it is.
Good laugher?
Yeah.
No.
Me too. That's what I heard from Jordan said that to me last night. He's like, "You're a very generous laugher." I was like, "Yes, I am, actually.
Yeah.
I laugh easily at things."
I noticed that last night. Like, I could tell, like, you were laughing. I could make out your laugh distinct from everyone else in the room.
I have a really cackly laugh.
Yes,
it's very nice. It's a very full-throated laugh, which I like to be a big laugher. It's good. So it was, like, a lot of comedy this week. This is my fourth show I'm doing tonight at 10:30, which I'm not super jazzed about, but... Yeah, four shows this week, which feels good. I mean, that's much less than lots of people do, but for me, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I usually do, like, one or two a week, so four is a lot. I did,
one or two.
I did, like, eight in 5 days a little while ago, which
nice.
Was a little too much. Mm-hmm. But I'm really, I'm getting lots of bookings. I've been having a lot of fun doing comedy. I've had a couple new jokes that are really doing super well. And so that's good. I just really wanted to take a fucking nap and go to sleep. And that would be cool, but... You know, it's
all right, let's
week.
Shut this down. Kitty needs a nap.
We're all gonna just...
I've already got candles lit. They're not real. They're LEDs.
They add a lot of
ambiance.
Mood and ambiance,
I bought some of those, like, the fake flickery LED votive candles.
Ooh.
Because I brought them to this venue that I wanted to play in, but because we're in such forest fire season, I, like, didn't even want to bring tea lights to a venue just in case the fucking venue caught on fire and then the rest of the city caught on fire. So I bought fake ones and they're fine.
Kind of the Great Fire of 1666.
I think I just realized the reason why I won that competition last night was that everyone's thinking about the forest fires, and I have a joke talking about napalm.
I don't think that's why you won.
I think that's the only reason.
Although
I
that
won.
Joke is a really goddamn good joke.
Thank you.
It makes me laugh very hard.
Based off real experiences.
Yes, that your parents lived in the jungles of
Jesus
Myanmar.
Fuck.
Yes, yes. Did you not know that, Chris?
No.
Oh, wow. You're in for a surprise.
I met you today. I don't think I've seen you do a set or anything, this is all new territory.
Okay,
is that,
even better.
Is your family, is it Burmese or is there a different word for it?
Burmese.
Now? Okay.
Well, let's get into my life.
Yeah, let's
guys.
Do it. Now
okay.
that we caught up with me,
my parents,
the important shit. Let's get into your childhood. Tell us about your mother.
My mom, she's great. I love her so much. She's a great woman. Jesus, no.
She holding your heart in her hand right now?
Something like that, yeah. It's like she knows every time I say her name.
There's like a bell just goes off. She's got like a mom Google alert, like
yeah,
an old school.
I just
a life alert.
I made a huge mistake and I added my mom to like my Facebook list and it's just, oh God. It's like she likes everything I like, I do. And like every time
that's
I,
my baby boy.
That's my baby, and it's always with a heart too. And
aww.
Stop loving me so much, mom.
Mom, come on.
My dad's a supportive one in my family.
Okay.
He likes all of our shit on Twitter. Like he likes
oh, yeah.
everything I post on Twitter, even if it's very gay.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like
or very rude.
Or very rude. I did like I posted those like World War II pussy jokes I had like right when the Eliza
nice.
Thing was happening, and my dad and I was like, Dad, don't look at these. He's like, you have to put the warning at the end of the tweet storm because that's the one you read first.
Oh,
your
like,
dad
I
knows
saw
Twitter better
all.
Than you.
That's practical advice.
I saw
Jeez.
It all, Catherine. I saw it all.
Is
so
your dad like a social media guru or something?
He's pretty adept at Facebook and Twitter, honestly. Like
oh,
he knows how to use it really well.
Oh,
he's not. I don't find him super overwhelming or anything. He's a goof.
Yeah.
But he means so well, and he just like loves everybody so much. So yeah.
Oh, nice.
But so your mom obviously loves you quite a bit.
Yes.
Even though you're a brutal disappointment to her.
What?
I'm
yeah.
just kidding. That was me kidding. I'm so sorry. Your face
no,
looks
no.
really wounded.
This is a that's a harsh truth that I have to come to terms
oh,
with
no.
eventually.
No, no.
You said this wouldn't go deep, Katie
no.
and Chris.
No.
Going to hell.
She just
no.
made it accidental and no, just cut
fine.
To the quick.
Yeah, what do you guys want to know about my life?
So your parents are from Myanmar.
They're at Myanmar, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Myanmar.
Nah, it's fine. It's a really...
No, it's Myanmar.
Myanmar.
Not your
Myanmar. Yeah, if you're confused, audience members, my parents come from Burma, also known as Myanmar. There was a name change.
Is that the country that did the happiness quotient study?
No.
I think that's
I
Malaysia.
Know. Yeah, Malaysia, I think.
No, it was... I'm pretty sure it was Myanmar.
Okay.
Where it was, like, the happiest place in the world based on, like, a happiness quotient.
Burma?
Like, I don't think it's Burma.
I don't think, okay,
what?
Happiness index. So it's not a very happy place.
You know what? It's a big country and there are pockets of happiness.
But it sounds like when
but they
you...
did not come from the most happy part.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Were you born there?
No, I was born in Thailand. My parents, I was born in Thailand. My parents are from Burma. Mm-hmm. Chris, you're gonna don't freak out. They met each other while fighting in a rebel militia.
Oh my goodness,
that's very cool.
Yeah, against the military junta of Burma.
Mm-hmm.
Then my mom got knocked up with me, and they were like, "Well, we shouldn't raise this kid in a war zone."
Smart.
Yeah. Look on your face right now.
I know.
Like,
I'm
what,
just
what should I say?
No, I know. I'm just like, wow. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I'm a good
that.
Interviewer.
Yes. Amazing.
All right. I brought
you're,
this whole thing down.
You're Googling.
I was Googling and I couldn't find the answer.
Okay. All right.
Let's just say
Let's
it's
just
Myanmar.
Say it's, yeah.
Just say it.
No, you know what?
I'm going to find out. You ask questions.
All right. I'm going to shoot first, ask questions later. So that's it. And I actually don't. You're 27?
Yep.
Okay. So that was 1990, I guess, they came over here.
95.
No. Oh.
I spent my first 5 years in Thailand.
Oh, Thailand. I thought
yeah.
you said I was born in town. You said
oh,
I was born
oh,
in Thailand.
No. Yeah, I was born in Thailand.
Cool.
Bangkok, Thailand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, do you have any memories of living there at all?
I got three.
You have three. Great.
Yeah, that's pretty
I'm
much
glad you
it.
Have this discrete number for us.
Oh, no, it says Myanmar ranks towards the bottom of the happiness index.
Yeah.
Story checks out.
I need to figure out which one it was. Anyway,
sorry. Three memories from Thailand.
Two of them are very sweet.
Oh, Bhutan.
Bhutan. Yeah, that makes sense. They're way more
sorry,
chill.
Sorry, Burma, Bhutan. I apologize.
Burma. Bhutan is a lot like Burma, but more chill.
They got a cool king guy, yeah?
Yeah, man. That's the thing. We lack a king.
He's got a wicked, he's got a cool-ass hat.
Wasn't it the king of Thailand that was like that wicked saxophone guy?
What?
He just died.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, I thought the king of Thailand played the saxophone.
That's like, Bill Clinton.
That's Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's not the king of Thailand.
I'm making all these like statements.
No matter
like
how many
I
illicit
knew.
Trips he's taken there, he's not the king.
Thailand king. Ooh. Thailand king crop top is the first search mention.
That's the newest king though. Like the previous the king's dad king. Died, and this guy's not well as liked.
Mm-hmm. Crop tops, mistresses, and flying poodles. The next king of Thailand. He's a pretty boy.
No, wow. He's not.
No, he's not.
I don't want to offend the people of Thailand, but your king is kind of ugly.
They're not listening.
They can't hear.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
They can't hear us from where we're sitting. So your three memories.
One was I was riding a tandem bike with my mom. Then we fell over. I cried, but then we started laughing.
That's cute. It's
very cute. Yeah. The other one was I don't remember the context of it, but like with me and my mom waiting for my dad. He was kind of running a marathon, and then he crossed the finish line. It was very sweaty. Then that number that he has for your marathons, he just like gave it to me, and that was my second memory.
Aww,
yeah.
Those are really cute.
Well, this third one's kind of gross.
Okay, perfect.
My most vivid memory of Thailand is actually, I remember like I was like 3, 4 crying because I pooped my pants in public. And then my dad just comes around the corner. It's like, what the fuck you do? Why are you crying? Because you shit your pants. All right, fine. Come on. And he just like pulled me up to go clean me up. And
that's your whole memory.
That's
just a pants full of poop.
That's very real, though.
Yeah.
That's not gross.
Good dad reaction.
I didn't really think too much about the poop. You didn't describe it, which is good. But no, we just knew your pants were full.
It was viscous and a gray scale.
Oh, no. No, no, no. So you moved here at age 5, went to kindergarten, presumably, like right off the dome?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yikes, that must have been kind of alarming.
No, I'll be honest with you, I was a lot more popular and socially capable as a kid than I am as a...
I'm trying to cleanse this memory with the king of Thailand playing saxophone, just
so
in the background.
So you did find him playing sax.
Yeah.
I still don't think that Bill Clinton's the king of Thailand.
No, maybe.
King Bhumibol? Bhumibol?
I always end up riding in that SkyTrain car that Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Thailand, was in. She's like Princess Dr. Mrs. something. Like, she has a super complicated name, and there's like a little brass plaque in an old Expo Line car. And I've ended up in that car like 7 or 8 times now.
Really?
Yeah, out of all the possible train cars, I've fallen into that one many, many times. And it's always like, she rode in here in 1986.
Maybe this is a sign from the universe telling you to go to Thailand.
Go to Burma, Thailand.
Burma, Thailand, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to turn that down. That was our background music. That's a song that the King of Thailand composed.
Ooh.
He was a jazz musician in 1940s.
Well, the guy that just passed away, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was very popular. Mm-hmm. My parents went to Thailand like right after he died, and they're like, we can't find wine anywhere. It's like, it's dry. They're in mourning.
Yeah. The whole
just
nation.
Ask somebody. They'll tell you where to get some. Because like, it's going to be there somewhere. But that was like, yeah, I remember hearing a bunch of Australian tourists like, I know, now I can't go to Thailand and drink lots of alcohol. What do I do?
Oh, those poor Australians.
Right,
yeah.
Blimey. Yeah, that's blimey. That's what English people say, not Australian.
I'm
crikey.
Sure.
Crikey.
Crikey, yeah. Tobias!
When did you move to Canada?
Or
did you
I was 5.
I missed it because I was looking up. Yeah. I was Googling. I'm so
I was being the good interviewer.
I'm so bad at this.
No, that's fine.
Why are we doing it then? To get better at it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're practicing on me.
Yep. So that was, you've been in Canada 22 years now.
Yep.
And you figured it all out. You know how to game the system.
I'm learning something new every day, guys. I have a coworker here, like, we were just talking about trying to get some benefits at work. He's just like, it's amazing the things you can get when you lie. It's like, what? That just blew my mind. It's like, yo, you could just lie and get stuff? It's like, yeah, man. It's like, shit. Oh, fuck.
I mean, you just, like, lie and get stuff?
Yeah.
Like, how?
I
have 4 legs. I need special pants.
No, I'm not.
Give me money.
This is some more work-related stuff. Whatever,
yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Harumph. Yeah. It's I get a lot of benefits at my job, which it feels like I'm getting away with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think we're so used to, as younger people, I think a lot of us work in retail and food services and stuff like that, and it's like, oh, fuck, I'm completely disposable, I don't make very much money, people are allowed to abuse me, and that's the norm. Like, that's definitely what I started to just anticipate. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I have to bend over backwards for the job, I have to bend over backwards for customers, I don't get anything other than my wage, that's all I can expect. And now I'm fairly compensated. I have health insurance. I have dental and vision insurance. I have a pension.
Fucking la-di-da.
Although I did work at this job for like 6 years before it was made permanent. So I was on a contract the whole time. Oh, so I did pay some dues.
Yeah.
But now I'm reaping the benefits. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Nobody's abusing me.
Is this what being an adult feels like?
So I guess this is growing up.
So no one told you life was going to be this way. All right.
Oh, that's the wrong clapping. I got too excited. I was just so happy that you were playing the Rembrandts. Yes, I remembered the name of the band that plays the Friends theme song.
My favorite band of the 90s.
Yes.
Aside from Weedus.
Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah. So good.
That came out in 2000.
That's...
God damn it, Katie.
God damn. Oh, jeez.
She's like the fact checker person.
Yeah, I didn't even have to look it up. I'm like, no, it was on the soundtrack to the film Loser starring Jason Biggs and Mina Suvari.
Oh, you know, oh, that was, I love that movie.
Did you?
Like, all those teen movies from the 2000s.
The late 90s to the early 2000s. Yes. Like, yeah. I love Not Another Teen Movie very much. It's so stupid. I love Can't Hardly Wait. That's one of my favorites.
That's my favorite movie. Can't Hardly Wait. That's my Breakfast Club.
It's so good. I love, like, the drunk nerd kid who gets up and sings in front of everybody and everybody loves him then.
Yo, he's like a scientist now. Like, that was his only ever TV role. And then he used all his, like, his movie role. He used all the money from that to, like, go to school and get a PhD.
So he really was a dork.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was like...
That's awesome.
There was a guy... I thought the guy that sang in that was the kid who was Peter Banning in Hook. Did you ever see Hook?
Nope.
Oh, well then nobody knows what I'm talking about. Let's move the fuck on.
But Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't Hardly Wait.
I remember loving that movie so much.
I had such a crush on Seth Green and his shitty character.
Yeah, his shitty goggles and his good,
boy.
I always thought he was so attractive. I still do, actually. Mm-hmm. He could get it. He's little. He's like 5'4".
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. For sure. You could do it.
I'll just carry him in my little arms. Big, giant arms, rather.
What did you like about that movie the most, was it?
It was just, like, when I watched it, I was a kid, I wasn't a teenager yet, mm-hmm. So it's, like, just the party atmosphere. Yeah. I really liked,
it's gonna be like that.
Yeah.
When people still had house parties.
When people still had houses.
The reason why I like that movie so much is just because that's kind of a part of a really, really small genre of films that I really, really like.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which is... a movie set during a night or a party with multiple stories interweaving.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
There's Can't Hardly Wait, but there's like 200 cigarettes.
That's a good one, actually. Yeah. Go is kind of like that, too.
Go. There was like the New Year's Eve movie that was like big and it was kind of
That was 200 cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah, but like it was like the, 200 cigarettes, but then there was like this big studio version of it that came out in the early 2000s. Right, Not as good. But like the fact that, 200 cigarettes.
I love movies that take place in, like, a time frame that's very narrow. Like, that's really enjoyable to me. Sometimes, like, the rare ones that actually take place in the amount of time that they're... I think, does Run Lola Run do that? I've never actually seen it.
I think so.
Yeah. But that's always, like, a really interesting device to me when
that genre is a thing where it's, like, we're, like, either teenagers or, like, early college or something, and it's just, like, one night that changed
one
it all.
One crazy night.
You know?
It's, like, a very small genre, but, like...
I really like that, though, right? And then, like, sometimes you get the little tail end of the aftermath or the lead-up, but usually it's just that thing, because it's, like, it really does feel that way.
Like, Can't Hardly Wait?
Yeah, I love... I really... Yeah. Okay, I want to watch that again. I'm going to, like, put that down and, like, just make that an intention for the next little while.
But, you know, like...
Why don't you laugh at me? You say those things all the time. You're so mean.
I know. Just to set an intention to watch a movie is, like, a little bit different than setting an intention to, like, make your life better.
Ooh, snap. Snap, Katie.
But you could set an intention to bring more joy to your life by watching that movie.
For all you listeners, Katie just threw a pen into Chris's cleavage, and it landed.
She deserved it.
and that pen bounced off her left boob and, like, just fell onto the floor.
No, I caught it. I caught it in one grasp.
Yeah, with a very smooth motion. Kitty has a lot of great dexterity.
I love this play-by-play.
Hand-eye coordination.
It's almost like you have an intrinsic idea that this is an audio medium.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's this, a lot that can happen in a night. Right?
I think that's the tagline for that film.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So maybe that's a cheesy concept, but I also really love that genre. True. There's a lot of books that I've been reading lately that are, like, it's sort of a fantasy genre, but it's,
Game of Thrones.
An alternate universe. Game of Thrones-esque. But, like, in one evening, like, so many different things can happen, right? Because you're in a big room with a whole bunch of people, and then it's, like, you make an enemy at the same time you make a lover at the same time that you, like, get this, like, whole loyalty with your crew of people. Yeah. It just, like, it can turn everything around, and suddenly you're either accepted by everyone or shunned by everyone, or, like, you know, splinters happen in the factions of...
No, like, it's just a great, like story setting or, like, just structure, just because you can just, like, follow so many different storylines with different characters. Mm-hmm. And, like, for me, the fun part is when, like, different characters from different separate storylines within the same movie interact with each other. They just, like, maybe either, like, impact the night for them significantly, or if it's just a small side conversation, that whole thing is just, like, that gets me going.
Whenever, like, you end up outside the party, like, on the swing deck chair or whatever, and it's like, or when Jerry O'Connell shows up.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best. He's like, don't forget to wear flip-flops. I got warts all over my feet or something like that. Like, I have this really strong memory of him saying that. He's like, oh, man, you were like the king of this high school. He's like, yeah, that doesn't last. Like, girls don't like me anymore. Like, it's poignant. So, yeah, it was really poignant. It was like, hey, everything that you're struggling towards is actually false.
I think that's what made me love that movie, because I was a very awkward kid, and then I saw, like, Jerry O'Connell being a sad, sad college student. I'm just like, yeah, good.
Good.
All the popular kids in school that make fun of me, fuck you.
I like any movie that makes me feel like that. Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
I love that movie.
That could be another movie in that, because it does have lead up to it, but it mostly concerns the night. So I think that's part of it. It's a great movie.
Romy and Michelle. Oh,
I love Alan Cumming. He's not in enough stuff. He's so good.
Late 90s, early 2000s comedies and rom-coms, that's my favorite genre.
They're so fun. Yeah. I started, like, watching rom-coms that are bad just because I, like, want that in my life. Like, just that kind of patter is really enjoyable and comforting. Like, I watched It's Complicated a little while ago.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds?
No, it's Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin in a love triangle, right. And it's, like, her thing... It's so silly because, like, she's, like, she was married to Alec Baldwin's character. They divorced, like, 10 years before the movie starts, and then they start, like, hooking up again.
Yeah.
And she falls for Steve Martin at the same time. She's like, what do I do? It's so complicated. But I was like, this is corny. This is dumb. And then I was talking to my friend who really loves, like, Nora Ephron and, who's the other really big, like,
Nicholas Sparks.
What's that?
Nicholas Sparks.
Not so much him. Like, when women direct the movies, I'm trying to remember the name of. I'm not gonna remember.
I think she
Nora Ephron's like the big one though, and so she always like everybody always has a really nice kitchen in her movies. Like the women, because it's an older woman. I was talking to my friend Megan. She's like, all of these movies are important because it is like a woman's fantasy point of view. It's like her thing in the movies. She's being desired by two like equally status men, and she's got like her own house and this beautiful kitchen, her beautiful like bakery that she runs and stuff like that. So it's like the most absolutely. Like, wrote movie because she bakes, for fuck's sake. Like, that's the one job a lady can have in a romantic comedy. It feels like she can run a bookstore or a cupcake shop or something like that. But
Or she's a high-powered executive that needs to learn how to love by falling in love with a childlike man.
Oh, Lord.
No, but, like, who makes her be like, don't be so serious all the time. And she's like, but I have to be serious because of society.
Yeah.
And he's like, but how about just loosen up a little bit? And then they smooch in the rain, and it's lovely.
Yeah.
Also known as my retirement plan.
You can finally be the dependent man-child you've always wanted to be.
It's my dream, guys. It's my dream.
Just need, like, a very alpha woman to take you under her wing.
Hey, ladies, if any of you out there are high-level accountants...
CEO, COO, CFOs.
Yeah, you
CFOs.
Don't necessarily want, like, a doctor or surgeon who's going to be away all the time. You kind of want somebody that's, like, high-profile, but not, like, high, maybe in the public view. You don't necessarily want, like, a politician.
No, or... not at all.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like someone that's very, very high on the chain at like a law firm.
You hear that, ladies?
Hey, ladies. And what do you offer these women? What are you offering in return?
Okay, all right, let's see here now. my personality,
which is pretty good.
This is actually your recording dating profile. This is on our podcast.
It's fine. I have a lot of experience writing dating profiles, so let's do this now. What do I have to offer? My great personality.
Yeah.
I'm very tall, 6'1".
That is pretty tall.
Very exotic. You're always going to have a story to tell your girlfriend.
What race is he?
Yeah.
No one knows.
If you're seen with me, no one's going to be thinking you're racist or anything. Come on.
If you've got some PR to do real quick, you had a bit of a rough go, hang out with me.
I'm slightly above average sexually. I don't know.
How do you know?
I've just taken
I fucked some guys just for some market research.
They
were not impressive.
So you've been told by past partners?
Here's what I do.
Take your watch off.
In
here's what
fluid
I
motion.
Do.
I read that in 50 Shades of Grey. He unsnapped his Rolex in one...
Fluid motion?
Yes.
Don't do anything in a fluid motion in 50 Shades of Grey.
Tally up all the compliments I've ever had from previous sexual partners and divide that by the number of sexual partners.
Okay.
And that's a score that I have, and it's...
A pretty good ratio?
69. Oh,
whoa, nice!
Yeah.
We just had our 69th episode.
Oh, very nice.
It was titled, Nice.
Nice.
Just nice. Yes. Just nice. It was good. We had a perv on. She was hilarious. Mm. Good old Lori. You want her number? I'm just kidding.
Was she an accountant?
No, she's seeing somebody.
Oh, shoot. Never mind.
Yeah.
We can't just, like... You know, matchmake for people, I guess.
Well, now I'm starting to try to think.
Oh, you guys got any friends?
Yes, we have lots of friends. We're very popular.
All right, I'll send them this podcast. Okay, all right, ladies, how's it going?
Get some good pics of you from just with the same goddamn background everybody else's profile pictures are.
Oh, yeah. The Seven Dining Lounge, wood paneling background.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I only just switched mine up recently, and now I don't even feel like a comic anymore.
No.
Which is probably for the best, because I'll work harder then.
Yeah, man. It's the insecurity. That's all you need to do stand-up.
Lots of insecurity.
Yeah.
A need for attention.
It's like high-octane fuel.
But you feel, to me, because I've just met you, feel like a pretty secure fella.
Okay. Well, I'm not sober right now.
I gave you a beer. I don't know what you did before you got here. Never mind.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I guess you're
so mysterious and confident and kind of dashing.
That's
working.
Yeah.
Right. I guess I know everybody's material really well, so I kind of know what people's insecurities are at this point, and I'm just like, sans, secure. Sometimes, maybe.
I'm trying to think.
Have moments of real security, but most of the time I'm like, screaming internally, externally sometimes.
I have that a lot, too. Yeah, no, it's just like...
It just all hits you at once, like, I'm in this!
Yeah, no, that's why I took up smoking, so I can leave social situations anytime I want. It's the perfect escape hatch. I'm not advocating smoking, folks. It's very bad for you. That being said, if you're doing it, I like you.
It looks fucking cool.
It's cool as shit. And a lot of comics smoke, it's true. But, I think you definitely have become more confident in the couple of years that I've seen you performing. You've been performing for a while, longer than I have by a bit.
Yeah, 7 years.
That's a long time. I've only been doing it for 2. It feels like you shouldn't even be allowed to be in that competition, then.
You've
been doing it for 7 years.
I never won, that's why.
Oh, okay, well, now you did.
Yeah, so I can't.
So you validated everything.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't go in expecting to win that competition.
Did you bring anybody?
No.
That's amazing.
That actually is really fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I only brought, 2 people, and Jackie only brought 1.
You both got second and third, though.
Yeah, no, we did.
Okay,
we did well.
Maybe the formula
we definitely put all 3 of us on a lot, though.
Yeah,
we put me and her and then you on all of our third slots were you. So
it's like a proportional representation system.
Exactly, So nobody gets to vote for just 1. You always have to vote for 3 people on every ballot, which is a really fair way to do it, I think, because that means that, lots of people get, second and third ballot numbers, So, yeah, and the people who don't need to stack it do sometimes. Like, Steve Litz brought, 35 people once for the final.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't need that. You're going to win anyway.
Yeah.
He's just really fucking funny.
Steve, believe in yourself. You don't need your friends.
It makes me mad.
You can do it on your own.
He's been doing it actually less time than I have,
even,
and he's better than most people who've been doing it for many, many years.
Well,
it makes me very angry.
Yeah, well, guys like Steve, they pop up every couple of years. Last time something like that happened was James Kennedy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's really similar trajectory.
And that's right, Steve, I'm comparing you to James Kennedy.
Yeah, I don't know. They're both pretty They're both pretty goddamn funny guys.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. I've noticed, like, there's just, like, a sweet spot to start doing stand-up. I started off pretty young. I was 20. And I think that's the reason why I'm, like, I've been doing it so long. As much as I have, it's just because I was young and I was unmotivated and I didn't really, like, have work ethic. But people who start around, like, mid to late 20s, early 30s, they're a bit more mature and, like, they take the whole thing more seriously in terms of especially, like, joke writing.
Yeah.
Right, so you're going to spend more time maybe writing and workshopping stuff.
Yeah.
As opposed to you're just like, I'm going out to party.
I'm going to talk to my microphone for a bit.
You're right. You're perfectly describing me.
In your early 20s when you first started stand-up, was it mostly for the social aspect of it, or?
No, it's because I, like, really wanted to do it. I was doing improv for 7 years before I started doing stand-up. Yeah, I started in high school.
Holy shit.
I continued that into uni. And then I met, I became the president of the SFU Improv Club.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know we had one.
You didn't come to any of our shows. We had shows every week.
I didn't know. I literally didn't know until this very moment that we ever even had one. I knew we had a choir.
What? They got more PR than we did?
I knew there
were
was
way
a choir.
More fun. Okay.
I played in the SFU orchestra.
We had an orchestra?
What?
Fuck, this is not a social school.
Yeah.
It's not. Like, nobody knows each other.
No.
I didn't even know you went.
No one does.
I talk about SFU a lot because I still work there. I should probably be more concerned about that, but I think I'm very well protected
Burnaby
at this point.
Campus?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Shit.
Nice.
The monastery is what I called it, where it's like you go up there.
You're cloistered, man.
You do your shit, and then you leave, and you don't talk to anybody. You don't, like, hang out there.
Yeah, that's true.
I went to UBC for my undergrad, and it's like you hang out there.
Yeah.
Like, I lived there for a long time on campus. There's tons of, like, food and restaurants and pubs and fun stuff to do. And at SFU, there's, like, the one thing.
Oh, yeah, the pub, Highland Pub.
Yeah, you could go to...
It's a shit. It's closed. It doesn't exist anymore.
Right. You could go to the Illyria
Really? It's
restaurant.
Closed?
Yeah.
Just closed in April.
Mm-hmm. Is there any drinking establishments?
Club Illyria.
Oh,
Club Illyria,
gross.
Yeah. It's a decent... There's actually a liquor store on campus now.
Ladies.
So people just go.
Ladies.
Can we take a break for the washroom?
Yes. Absolutely, we can.
And we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
So, Lord.
All right, yes. On my bathroom break, I was just talking to these ladies, beautiful ladies.
These beautiful ladies.
So charming. So charming. I did move my chair closer to you.
All right, well, thank you.
Fucking works, man. The secret.
Secret is giving compliments.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Turns out we're just hoes.
Beautiful hoes.
That's the name of the podcast.
I've been listening to the new Lord record on repeat constantly
since Katie
played it for me after the Sunday show at Big Rock.
I drove you home.
And then I bought it myself, and I've just been driving around, like, listening to it, and it's so good. And you were saying that, like,
I listened to it, like, yesterday, and I've gone through, like, all the songs, but I've been listening to the last song, Perfect Places, on repeat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just saying, like, it really surprises me, and I don't know what it says, but, I really relate to Lorde. Like, I know she's, like, 7 years younger than me and comes from a very different place, but it's just, like, those...
Australia.
An island in the South Pacific, you mean?
Right. She's a Kiwi, yeah. It's just, like,
I don't know where Burma is. I fucked that up.
Yeah. I don't know. I really, like, in general, I'm starting, like, as I get older, I'm really getting into, like, sad girl pop music.
Oh, welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Join us, please.
But,
yeah,
like...
so much good stuff.
But, like, it's very, like, I like it, but it's, like, certain strands. I know it's not, like, I'm not as into, like, Kate Nash or anything like that.
See, I didn't know anything about her till I saw her in Glow.
Oh, Glow's great.
Glow is fantastic.
Oh,
She's
my God.
Britannica, the smartest woman in the world.
That's Kate Nash.
She's a pop singer from the U.S.
UK.
She's very, very famous.
Oh, cool.
She's, of course, very beautiful.
Have you seen Glow?
I have, and I love it.
Yeah.
I just didn't do any
British
research
chick,
on the people. Yeah.
She's multi-talented.
But everybody in that
she's
has,
a
like,
rapper.
A secret, like, amazing... Who is? Sorry?
I said she's a great rapper.
Is
oh,
right, right, right.
She does the rap.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, took me
that's
a second.
Based off real life.
Glow. That's the game. Yeah, the actual, we're the gorgeous ladies of wrestling. We're the champions in the ring. We've done that on the podcast before, too. We're the gorgeous ladies of podcasting, or glop.
Glop.
And we were thinking we should design satin jackets that just say glop, gorgeous ladies of podcasting. And, like, I know at least 6 women that would buy them. Oh. So if I sold them for $200 each.
You might break even.
Oh, that's perfect.
Fun. That's fun. Ooh, but yeah.
Sea Hags merch. All right.
We got stickers, man. All we right. got stickers. Could hook you up with a
but
sticker.
But so, like, relating to, yeah, Sad Girl Pop.
Yeah, Sad Girl Pop. I like the newer crop, though, like Lana Del Rey. Yeah. What was her name? Oh, fuck.
I like the Bella, the balladic. Balladic? Ballady. Ballady. Stuff. Yeah. No.
It's, for me, it's more like, I like the techno, or like the electronic
The synth?
Yeah, like the synth. Me too.
And the deep board voices.
It's like Joy Division if it was a millennial.
Yes! Yeah. That's totally it. That's totally it.
Yeah.
Oh, David Bowie himself said that Lorde was the future of music.
Yeah.
Before he died. He's like, she's the best, and I think he like handpicked her to sing at his memorial for the like UK Music Awards or whatever it was. Yeah.
There's a couple songs on the new record that are David Bowie-esque songs that are just like so good.
The first big single, the piano ones, I'm obsessed with it. Greenlight? Yeah. Like, Greenlight. Oh, fuck. I listen to it 4 times a day easily. I want to do it at our New Year's party.
Great.
That should be a lot of fun.
I like the more party-focused songs because that's where my life is at.
Because like, a lot of that record is like...
You're 5 years younger than us, so you are, you know, consummately less mature.
Yeah. Fuck, I thought I was the oldest one here.
Oh, nice
oh,
one.
Oh, he's trying to do that thing again.
It's working.
I wear my age like a badge. I don't know if that's a thing.
But fine with being in my 30s.
Yeah, what I like, though, is that record is so, like, I relate to that, though, as well, where it's just, like, you have these, like, summers, those hot, sticky summers where you're just having, like, a weird dirtbag fling, and...
I've been that dirtbag fling.
Yeah.
And... I mean, me too.
Yeah. And you're just... You're having a really good time, and then it kind of turns sour. And that's, like, what a lot of the songs kind of are, where they're like, oh, I'm reflecting back on that. Oh, it wasn't really that good, but, like, fuck, it was so good, though. Like, it's just, that tension in those songs are so
She's obviously
good.
Had her first big, like, breakup, right? That whole album is such a breakup album.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, like, if I had had that when I was her age, like, when I was going through my first, like,
I would have
breakup
loved
where I got dumped.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would have loved that so much. I would have just listened to it all the time. Mm-hmm. I would have listened to Liability constantly. I'm like, I'm too much for everybody. I still do, though. I could still listen to that and just be like... Ha-boo-boo-boo-boo-boo.
But yeah, Perfect Places is a great song where it's just like, we're just fucked up off, like, fucked off our faces, and we're dreaming of perfect... What are perfect places? Like,
it's like, we're fucked up, but we're sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
My constant state of being.
Oh,
she's using, like, these new terms, like supercut. Even that's like a YouTube word.
That's really?
Over, like, when have you ever heard supercut? Like, before
I thought it was like a film.
Sure it is, but it didn't enter the proper popular parlance until you started getting YouTube channels like Screen Junkies or whatever, doing a supercut of all the times Iron Man punches a man out of the sky or something.
I see.
So, like, it's just a supercut. That's not something that
just
the...
Just a supercut of us. Dun, 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 dun. Supercut.
Chris is a musician.
What do you play?
I play cello.
Cello.
And the flute and the piccolo and the piano.
Ooh, all the classy instruments.
No.
They're pretty classy.
Okay.
You're like, tell me more.
No, I want to talk more about Lorde.
Okay.
I want to hear about your relationship to that, because, like... As a younger man, what is your experience?
I don't know. I don't know if I have.
Maybe that's not actually a good question, but it's like figuring out. Whatever.
Maybe a lot of those experiences are kind of universal. They don't have to be gendered.
I feel like they kind of just are, though.
Yeah.
Like,
I think they're sensitive people emotions, not women's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, people who feel really hard. I know I do, and I don't think that that's me being a woman. I think that's just me being like very sensitive, and I don't mean like. I'm tender, and I, like, grew up in this very, like, PC culture or anything like that. No, I'm just, like, physically, nervously sensitive to the world around me. Mm. I perceive things that aren't usually perceptible by a lot of people. It's not because I'm magical. It's just, like, I'm nervous and aware of everything.
So you're, like, you feel nervous and aware, and you relate to that record.
Yeah.
I feel, like, I feel very deeply, and I fall in love really easily, and I just feel everything extremely strongly. And so that record really speaks to me as well, where it's, like... We had these intense emotions, and then you just had to be like, oh, I guess it was just a summer fling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so it's like two sides of the same coin, mm-hmm. both deep, intense feelings, but with different, like, texture.
Yeah.
I guess. So yeah. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I think deep down inside, I'm just an 18-year-old girl. Since, I don't know.
It's like, we all kind
of? Yeah, we are. I don't know. It's just like, I like her aesthetic. I think she's a great writer. And it's just like, for me, I've always, like, liked lyrically, like, darker stuff, more, she's like... Like, I like doing analogies. She's like the Rick and Morty of teen pop stars.
That's totally accurate, I think. Like, she's really... I love her voice, and it has all of the features of, like, millennial pop.
But I think
like,
she has started the whoop, it, though,
she's,
didn't
she? Does the whoop. She does whoa-whoa-whoas in some of her songs, but she's got the swallowed vowels and the vocal fry
she's
and all of the
things. She's got the avocados and bananas.
Avocados and bananas.
The vocal fry thing.
Yeah, but I love it. Like, I like the sound that has. I don't like how disparaged that... Because, I tried to write a joke about it. I was like, why do women do vocal fry? Because it feels fucking amazing.
Vocal fry?
It feels great in your throat to be
what
like,
is?
Whoa.
You just, like, really talk like that.
Like, it vibrates really nicely in here, and it feels good, so that's why I do it.
Am I vocally frying
yes,
right now?
That's vocal fry.
I'm so chill.
I do my makeup on somebody else's car. Yeah, it's definitely
Her voice is just so low.
I love the low voice. Like, that's why I like Lana Del Rey, too. Yeah. It's like the deep voice on a woman.
Can we think about, like... From, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, all of our high-pitched pop star icons, like Britney and Christina, that would do all their, like...
Okay. And
they were always doing super high stuff, and it was only Britney Spears, suddenly, it was like, she started singing low, and
I'm
it's sexy.
To you, don't you know that you're toxic?
Yeah, like, that's when she got, like... sexy kind of dirty when she started singing like low and same with Christina where she went dirty
she literally went dirty with two R's
dirty but you know when it's like so what does that say about like the pitch of your voice if you're singing high are you like angelic and whatever and then when you're
innocent
singing
and
low
teasing?
You're kind of
like, it's like the Madonna whore complex
it's always
vocally.
Always
okay,
comes down to a binary doesn't it
yes
but
yes,
I love I just like deep voices on women and conversely, sometimes I like really weirdly high voices on men. I've been listening to a lot of like queer male pop, like Perfume Genius and really interesting, weird sonically stuff.
Nice.
Like it's definitely inspired by glam rock, but something very operatic and strange. Mm.
Like reclaiming the castrati a little bit?
A little bit in some ways. Like very much like a feminized thing. And it's very interesting. There's another, not Rufus Wainwright, who is also a gay. I'm trying to remember who it is. Patrick Wolf is another one that has been recommended to me in terms of, like, being sort of that fey, weird, dreamy sort of thing. I like dreamy music.
Okay.
Things that feel like the weather does. Like, it's just kind of like a weird, vibey sitch. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I think the thing that I also love about Lorde is how minimal...
Yeah, the production itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Where
very sparse.
Sometimes people get down on, like, other pop singers and whatever, being like, oh, it's so overproduced, right?
Yeah.
But, like, her stuff is so minimal. It's, like, literally just, like, bass note, bass note. And she's singing, and it's, like, maybe multiple layers of harmony and stuff that's very produced, but the background is very chill.
Yeah.
It's I like that a lot, and I found that that's the stuff that I write now,
which
is very cool.
Someone once, like, a music journalist described Lorde's music as, like, dystopic pop, and, like, I really agree with that. I think it just, like, the thicker stuff really just vibes off this... current zeitgeist
today. Ask a young woman if you want to know what the world's like, right?
Oh, sure,
because she's going to have sort of the most nuanced look at it, I think. And that's, because I was 16 when 9/11 happened, right? And I had a lot of feelings about that when that went down, because I was just old enough to feel it and just feel all, like, the fear involved in that. So, like, a lot of the stuff, because I wrote a lot in my journals at that time. Like, if I think if I was able to really go deep on the web, I'd find some of the stuff that I wrote.
Yeah.
And it was all very, like, angry and scared and stuff like that. So, but if I'd had, like, the faculties to actually make music at that time, I might have made some really, like, I'm scared shit. And hers is, like, this is the world I was born into, so I'm going to do the... I'm going to, like, run through the city at night and do the best I can and fuck
like
you if
that.
You don't like
I
it.
I even found her first album, I related to it so much, even though it was
still
just about being a teenager. And I listened to them, and I'm just like, yes! Like,
when I hear, like, Tennis Court sounds like it happens after the apocalypse, kind of. Like, it's just, like... just meet me by the old abandoned tennis court, basically.
I think that's why I like it, like her stuff a lot, is just because, like, I am older than her, and, like, I went through the same same things you did, but, mm-hmm. like, just, like, listening to her stuff is just, like, listening to, like, someone just, like, accustomed to the world that the way it is right now, and just, like, living her life and making the best of it.
Oh,
like,
my God. Lord's
great.
That actually is so brilliant, though.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, maybe we have some perspective of, like, our generation straddles a bit of a, like, oh, I knew what it was like before, cell phones, and that's, like, a bit of a thing of pride, but she's just, like, I had no idea what that was like.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to live my life the best way that I can now.
There's, like, no, like, generational baggage in her music.
She has a very, I think she's very living in the moment.
What are we?
Yeah, all right.
Too
okay.
many high
fives.
I feel like she's really present in the zeitgeist, like you were talking about. Like, she's really in it, and so the way she talks about things, it's like she can only talk about what's happening right now. She can't go too far in the past or too far in the future, because, like, Generation Z or whatever they're called, like, they post-millennial or late millennial, something like that. Like, what have they had? Like, it's just been a crazy situation ever since that they were conscious. Like, I don't think they remember a time before George Bush was president, right? Like, so they've just had crazy upheaval in their lifetimes.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I was 11 during 9/11. Like, I don't, like, I know I was alive for Bill Clinton, but, like, I don't remember anything about Bill. Like,
Except the saxophone.
Yeah, no, not even that. It's just, like, when I
it's
started
a legend.
Getting, when I started getting politically aware within the world of, like George Bush post 9/11.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where I just came in. And, like, I think that's what connects me to Lorde's music, because she came way after, and, like, in the world that, like I was trying to adjust to, but she was already in it.
Well, I love Lorde.
There's something about, like, the ease of somebody, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, she just has an, like, a comfort of being, like, I've already been in this. I'm in the bath. And we're, like, dipping our toe, and we're like, it's hot, it sucks, I'm trying to get used to it. And she's like, but I'm already in it.
I'm already in it. Jeez.
And Jess is so comfortable and free in it.
Doing her interpretive dancing.
But also, we can't divorce her from other stuff, too, because she obviously loves David Bowie and is, like, very influenced by other music.
She does seem a bit like an alien. Kind of. Like, she's just, like, this magical little creature. We love Lorde. Very pro-Lorde podcast.
You were saying she's, like, the
if what? You're prompting me, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to steal your joke.
Oh, I don't know what I said now. What are you trying to prompt me to say?
Who's the woman that is all analogous to David Bowie?
Kate Bush?
No.
Oh, Tilda Swinton?
Tilda Swinton.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, it was a tweet that I made, which was, like, Tilda Swinton, sometime in the mid-90s, Tilda Swinton went into a synthesizer factory and budded for the first and only time, and that's how we got Lorde.
Wow.
And she just, like, grew out of her and then, like, springed off and then formed into a whole person on her own. They have the same face. If you look at them side by side, it's really creepy.
If I could go back in time and produce a movie where, like, Tilda Swinton and David Bowie play Fraternal Twins. Like,
have you seen the music
video? Music video of that.
No?
Yeah, he did that. Before he died. That was his last album.
I'm not
going to
watch
album.
His last music video. If I watch it, that means he's gone forever.
Oh. See, that's exactly how I feel about it. But I'm not talking Black Star. I'm talking the album before that, because that's the one where he did the video. It's called The Stars Are Out Tonight, I think is the name of the song. And he plays her husband or something in it, but they play each other as the video goes on. It's kind of interesting.
Ooh,
they, like, swap.
It's so cool.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The androgyny of that is, like, very good.
Oh, God.
Very good.
Androgyny.
Yeah, we really got into, like what kind of... We haven't really talked music very much on the podcast in the last little while, so that's a nice little... Mm-hmm. We mostly talk about politics and self-care.
All right, so Trump is, like, really shitty right now, guys.
Sucks. He's
no
good.
No.
Trumpet full of shit.
Hey, in British Columbia... We just, the new government just said that the Human Rights Council is back again after
it's
12
back.
Years. We just
in POG form.
You get a human right. You get a human right. Slammer of ombudsperson. Ka-chunk.
That's the best laugh break I've ever gotten on this podcast. The Human Rights Council is back,
things are looking good in BC, except for everything's on fire, so
that's
cool.
Just a metaphor.
Again.
Oh, no, it's a literal fire. Shit!
Yeah.
Hence, again, the appropriateness of Lorde in my playlist, watching out the hazy sky blocked out by the fiery, angry sun.
She said, this is Lord Music Day time, always, yes.
Yeah.
Why don't we just hang out in a really sweaty hot room and just, like, flirt and talk about Lord?
Why don't we just hotbox it and listen, talk about Sad Girl Pop? That's a pretty good way to spend a Friday, honestly.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Ugh. How do you ladies feel about Rallo Kiley?
I don't know who that is.
I know them. That was Jenny Lewis, who is she was a child actor for many years. She started a band called Rallo Kiley, and my friend Jessica, going to high school, had an exact same voice as her and
really?
Could do cover songs of, she did...
Is she single?
No, she's she's dating the traffic guy from News 1130, actually.
How can you compete with that?
WX. She's very beautiful. Hi, Jessica. She's not listening. But she did
hey,
have
Jessica,
the same voice.
How's it going?
How's it going, girl?
How's it going, girl? Yeah,
she did more adventurous. She would cover that, and it was very lovely. But I can't say I've heard a ton of their songs, but I like the synth pop a little bit more than, like, folk pop or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the girl with a guitar has never been
but
my
like
big thing.
But, like, dark synth pop.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's gotta
yeah.
be dark.
Okay,
yeah.
So you mentioned Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
I never really knew Lana Del Rey at all, and then we have a New Year's show that we do every year.
Yeah.
In our basement.
Ooh.
And my friend Noel brought a Lana Del Rey song.
Which one?
Oh, God. It was...
Was it video games?
No, it
was
like...
West Coast?
No.
It was a good one, though.
Fuck. It was like... It was so dark. It was just like, I'm a dark angel.
God's
like,
Monsters?
Yes. God's
That's my favorite song.
Oh, it was
of
so
Lana Del Rey.
Good. It was so good. And she's got, like, Noelle had, I think...
She has that deep fucking voice.
I think she had the fucking original of that because she was never recognized for how fucking good her voice was.
I've always
Our very good friend Noelle, who hopefully is listening to this, like, her voice was sultry and sexy before it was cool.
She's one of my favorite voices of anyone I know.
And she covered that Lana Del Rey song, like... Oh my God!
Yeah.
Is Gods and Monsters?
Gods and Monsters. Maybe I'm an angel in the garden of evil. Yeah.
And it just some of her albums. I think.
And it just like I got to play keys on that, and I was
nice.
Just like it was like sexy, like dark organ, like.
Just
then,
getting
just, like,
you right
the
drums, right
like,
in the joy button.
It was such a fun song to sing. I was like, "Who is this Lana Del Rey?" And I
Who
started
is this
listening.
Lana Del Rey?
Because like I'd heard of her. Mm. It was like, she styles herself like Amy Winehouse-ish.
But then
Amy Winehouse is her own trip that, like, I've only grown to appreciate in the last, like, 6 years, basically, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Lana Del Rey is, like, her own thing. It's just, like, the dark...
The
LA
dark
kind
LA
of like,
dystopic.
Yeah, and really singing about how
like the backside of the Hollywood sign is what she's like.
And like singing like honestly about like I'm a disaster.
Yeah.
And this is what like my very darkest worst things are. And I wanted to write songs like that. I got talked out of it by a few people about certain ones. I've got a few songs that are like
borderline.
Literally, I write my comedy to be the joke equivalent of Lana Del Rey's music.
It's just like,
like I'm a disaster, but also irresistible.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. That's so good.
I guess you gotta come see Sandy comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that? Would you say that's a correct, like,
Yeah, no, I think so. You do really dark stuff. I've seen you do... A lot. No, I was gonna say I've seen you do a lot of the same jokes. That doesn't sound very kind.
Thank you, Katie.
But it's that you have a pretty defined set that you do. But I've seen them evolve over time, and like the way that you tell them has changed a little bit. And you have a very distinctive way of speaking, and it always cracks me up. Like I can just hear you saying like the power of dance.
All right, she's all right. Katie's all right, folks.
She's okay. Like I feel like I could do a pretty good sand impression now.
Oh,
whereas I can't do that with everybody. I can do a few.
I can do a pretty good Kyle one.
Kyle
Bottom.
No, Kyle Carpenter.
Oh, okay, Kyle Carpenter.
No, but I don't think I could do it. I've honestly never seen Kyle Bottom ever do comedy. Never.
Never? You should check him out.
He's funny. I've seen videos of him, but I just, like, I don't know. We've never been on a show together. I've never been at a show where he was performing. It's kind of weird. But,
By the power of the secret, your path shall cross this night.
This very night.
And seeing as how, I was saying, like, we're in the room. It's very dark.
The
room where
it happens.
We've got the low lights on. We've got some fake candles. And normally we invite spooky girls on this podcast, but then we just have like a silly comedy boy.
Yeah.
But who turns out to be a spooky girl inside.
The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
The whole time.
I love that it turned out this way. So we're like sort of doing a seance in a good way.
Oh, seance? Are we going to do a seance?
Fuck, if we knew you were into it, I would have
bought
the tarot cards.
God damn it. Where have you been all my life?
We're going to do a part two then, I guess. I don't know that many people, so you'll have to come back another time.
I do have tarot cards here, but they're not Katie's tarot cards, so okay. It's a different thing.
I only know how to read my own.
Are they, like, Chinese tarot cards or
no,
something?
No, they're the Aleister Crowley ones that are, like, really dark and sexy, and only Ed can touch them, because...
Mine are...
Ed Conner?
Well, no. Well, maybe. I don't know. Her boyfriend. Mm. Wait, have you ever called him your boyfriend? You do sometimes, no. Your partner.
It's weird when you're, like, in your 30s and 40s to call someone your boyfriend.
He's my boyfriend. That's the only reason I got married.
Anyway, so I just wanted to say that this is, like, it's a fun turnaround to, like, discover that you're actually a spooky teen girl.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Now I just really want to do a spooky teen girl podcast. Yeah.
Actually, that's the perfect way to describe me. I'm a spooky teen girl trapped in a goofy Asian boy's body.
I was going to say some different adjective.
What were you going to say?
Sexy guy's body.
Hey!
This is a spicy podcast. Yeah,
that's a Friday night show.
See okay. Hags after dark.
Yeah, well,
thank you for being here, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Do you have some social media stuff to plug or any shows coming up? Because this podcast is coming out on Tuesday.
Tuesday? Mm-hmm. Tuesday. Shoot, I have... a bunch of shows that are actually coming out this Tuesday, next Tuesday. Well, whatever. You know what? Like my Facebook page, Sanong. Yeah. Search for pages, Sanong. My Instagram is @TheSanong.
Mm. That's Sanaung.
My Twitter is @ComicSans_.
That's hilarious! Oh, my God. If you had a Twitter, I'll add you.
It's not. It's a really... I don't really do much on my Twitter. I just use it.
It's just worth it for the name.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
It's pretty cute.
Yeah. All right,
well, that's it for us today.
Katie, nothing coming up for you anymore?
I'm doing a show tonight. I'll be at the Old Crow Mike at the Old Crow Coffee in New Westminster on the 12th. I'll be hosting. Steve Letts is headlining.
Oh,
should be a good time.
Old Crow Comedy Show is going to have a show at the end of the month, last Monday of the month. I'm going to be headlining. Come out to that. It's in New West. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Everybody can come to my house for, I don't know, joints and wine.
Yeah, everyone come over for joints and wine. I have no more shows this month because my band is... breaking up / our keyboard player is moving to Norway.
What?
And we just had a great show. We may have a couple other surprise shows, but we're going to try to record. But that's basically it, motherfuckers. We did 2 shows and that's it.
It's better than many, many, many bands.
All right.
Live the life.
We'll
have
see
a great week, everybody.
Next week. Bye.
Bye.